St. Augustine said that a Christian is a hallelujah from head to foot. And writer Oz Guinness thinks about this. He says he doesn't think that that means that Augustine thought we should have, we should go around ceaselessly singing choruses with a silly grin on our face, or that we should have a constant but really superficial good mood. But Augustine wrote this: "Let me not tire of thanking you for your mercy in rescuing me from all my wretched ways." Because the coming of Jesus into our lives, the coming of Jesus into the world, was a moment of great joy. Do you remember what the angel said to the shepherd? The shepherds, they said, "We bring you tidings of great joy." Jesus' coming into the world was a moment of great joy. Jesus' coming into our lives was a moment of great joy. And because he brings us forgiveness, because he brings us new life, because he brings us adoption as sons, as children, because he brings us peace and all the rest of it, we do have so much to be joyful about. We all know that our lives should be full of joy, don't we? We rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. It's a command to rejoice. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." But you know that, and there's not much point in me standing up here and telling you something you know, that Christians are supposed to be joyful. That's not much help to you, is it? So I want to look at things from a slightly different angle. Jesus brings us joy. How exactly does that work? Well, I think I want to go back and look at Jesus' life himself. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan? John the Baptist baptized him, and we read this. This is in Matthew 3. "When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" I think this is the English Standard Version again. This is what the voice from heaven said. The God's voice, God his Father, said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Father was pleased with the Son. The Father had joy in the Son. That's what I want us to grasp. The Father had joy in the Son. And this is what we read in Matthew chapter 12. Ben, do you want to find Matthew chapter 12 and read it to us? Is that all right? Have you got a Bible there? Matthew 12, verse 15. And somebody else can be looking at Matthew 17, verse 5 and reading that for me. Can somebody do that, please? Yes, please. "Warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill that he had what was prophesied. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah." Carry on. Yeah, verse 18. This is the key verse. That's fine, that's fine. Thank you, Ben. Excellent. "This is my Son, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased." So the Father delights in his Son, who he calls his servant there. And someone can read 17 verse 5. It's actually on the screen, of course. Somebody want to read that for us? Excellent. So three times the Father says that to the Son, that he's pleased with him, because God the Father absolutely delights in the Son. That's the point. God the Father absolutely delights in the Son. And what's more, Jesus clearly is delighted in the Father. He loved him. He delighted to do his will. That's what the writer to the Hebrews picks up on. He picks up on Psalm 40, where the writer says, I desire to do your will. I delight to do your will. In the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 10, putting these words in Jesus' mouth, I've come to do your will. The Father delights in the Son, and the Son delights in the Father. And so we have the Father and the Son having joy between each other. Can I ask a couple of volunteers, please? James, do you want to come up and help me, please? It's a big role you've got, as you'll see in a minute. And David, do you want to come up as well? Okay, so James, you have to be the Father just there, right? And David, you come here and be the Son, right? And so the Father and the Son, the Father looks at the Son and he's delighted in him. That's right, brilliant. David, you're the Son, Jesus, and you look at the Father and you're delighted in him. You have an excellent relationship. Now here's the thing. You see, we know about Jesus. We know how he went around doing good. We know that he obeyed his Father. And so it was easy for the Father to delight in the Son because Jesus is so easy to delight into. Now what happens when we become Christians? Who shall we have? Michael, would you mind joining us, please? Thank you. So Michael's one of us. He's become a Christian, right? Okay. Now, do you think the Father says to the Christian, look how much I delight in my Son. He's wonderful. He's marvelous. If you behave yourself, if you can be as good as you possibly can be, if you try not to mess up too much, then I'll delight in you too. Do you think that's how it works? It doesn't. This is how it works. When you become a Christian, you don't stand over there. You come and stand here. Because can you kind of link arms like that? When we become a Christian, you might just turn around so people can see. We are linked to Jesus. The Bible says we're united to Jesus. And so we're part of Jesus. And that means when the Father is delighting in the Son, he's delighting in us too. Do you see that? He cannot not have joy in us because we're united to Jesus. And that is such an amazing thing, isn't it? And that means also that's the source of our joy, isn't it? The source of our joy is the fact is that we're taken up into this amazing relationship. Father and Son, Son and Father, that as the Father delights in Jesus, because we're united to Jesus, he delights in us too, and so we delight in him. That's an amazing thing. We're given the right, the Bible says, the right to be called children of God, sons of God, and that's an amazing thing. Thank you, gentlemen, that was excellent, well done. So when we become Christians, we become part of that dynamic, and that's the source of our joy. That is the source of our joy. And if we don't understand that, I think the Christian life just seems like a slog. It does seem like us saying, well, I know I should be joyful, but I don't feel like it today. But you see, the thing about this relationship is that whatever else happens, that doesn't change. You see, that joy that we have as being part of that relationship doesn't change depending on our circumstances, does it? You may be really upset because somebody you know has had a really bad time, or maybe you've had a really bad time. And it's right that you're upset by that. God doesn't want us to pretend that those feelings aren't there. But here's the thing. If you're having a bad time, or if your friend is having a bad time, has that changed your relationship with Jesus and the Father? It hasn't. And so that means that it is possible for Christians, even in difficult times, to be joyful. Imagine, you know, you've lost your job, which is a terrible thing. If you've lost your job, does that mean, has that changed your relationship with Jesus and your relationship with the Father through him? It hasn't, has it? So that means it is possible even to be joyful when you've lost your job. Even when you're facing illness, even And you can read stories about this. Even when Christians are being persecuted for their faith, even when the whole world seems against them, Christians can testify that they've known joy in those circumstances. Which is an amazing thing, isn't it? And it's not just a superficial plastic smile. It's a deep down joy and satisfaction in knowing that the Father loves us and is delighted in us because he's delighted in Jesus. And that's an amazing thing. Nothing can happen that can change that, which is wonderful. So we've got every reason to be joyful. This is the thing, isn't it? This is what we touched on this morning as well. This verse in Zephaniah reminds, remember how the Father delights in Jesus? Well, this is what it says in Zephaniah. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. That's where the source of our joy is, that joy from the Father. That's an amazing thing. We see this kind of interplay in this episode in Jesus' life. He'd sent out 72 people. This was not only the 12 disciples, but the kind of the bigger group of disciples that had started to follow as well. He'd sent them out, and they'd gone out, and they'd done amazing things. They'd done healings, they'd cast out demons, they'd done amazing things, and they came back, and they were really excited by that. And they said, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In other words, he's saying to them, here's the source of our joy, not what we do, but the fact that we have that relationship with God. The fact that our relationship with him is safe, that we're known by him and loved by him, and that he has saved us. That is the source of our joy. And then read what comes next. The very next verse. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. Now, do you see all that joy washing round there? The Father has good pleasure because he's shown that by the little children, he means his disciples there. He's shown his disciples, he's revealed who Jesus is. And that gives the Father joy to have shown us who Jesus is. That gives him great joy. And that makes Jesus full of joy. Do you see that? Jesus responds with joy. And what does he say to the disciples? Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And so the disciples have joy. The Father has joy. That gives Jesus joy. That gives the disciples joy. Do you see the kind of the circular relationship of joy that is going round there? Because we're part of that relationship. And that's an amazing thing. And when we meditate on that, surely then our hearts will fill with joy when we think of who we are in Christ, on the love the Father has for the Son, the joy the Son has in the Father, and how we're part of that. That's where our joy stems from. And it's good to remember. This is what Eugene Peterson said. When we are normal, we talk. When we are dying, we whisper. But when there is more in us than we can contain, we sing. So we're going to sing.